SFJ 4x4 Studios presents.
In my oversized four-wheel drive Jeep.
A Jeep podcast starring industry experts.
Pure monosity. What? Say that again.
With mad scientist Scott Brown.
Use my drill press as a sort of lathe.
Our host, Neil Simpson.
If one light goes out, they all go out.
Filled with shenanigans.
We are really professional with Jeeps.
This is I Speak Jeep.
Good morning. See, I went out with a real big. It's a good
morning. Yeah, all right. Boisterous. Not sure.
Not sure. Afternoon, evening, wherever, however you are joining us.
Do you even know what day it is?
I do. It's been a hustle of the last couple months.
Yeah.
Explosive growth is the number one downfall of growing businesses, and we're a decade plus in as a growing business, and we're still experiencing explosive growth. And So I'm just on for a wild ride. So the last couple months have been challenging.
I see.
So I do know what day it is.
In the comments first is Seven Slot Towing and Recovery Services saying, "Good morning, fellas."
Good morning. Oh, that's a nameful, but I love the name of it.
Yeah.
And they are local to Northeast Ohio, Northwestern Pennsylvania. If you need a tow, definitely a big recommendation there. I was doing my spiel.
You were.
I was in the middle of
my spiel.
I think
that time has
passed. You're welcome.
Now. He's Neil.
I'm Neil. Who are you?
I am mad scientist Scott Brown, CJ Whisperer. That's what I was doing this morning.
Whispering to CJs?
It was.
Sweet nothings?
Yes.
Weirdos. And seated to my right side of Grandma's Couch Studio,
Jeff Shermani,
the Italian Stallion.
And I see Joe O'Brien is also in the comments
good
saying
morning,
good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, we had a pretty beautiful weekend overall.
It was gorgeous.
It threatened us
spring.
A couple times.
It threatened us.
About time that you're, putting up a gutter, thunder starts hitting, and you look over your house, and you see this black, ominous cloud, and you're like, crap.
They called for, that's right. You had your gutter debacle.
I had the gutter
before.
Off the house. I'm like, this just needs to go on.
You're talking about Sunday.
Yes.
Right? This was Sunday. Because you know what? Honestly, they were calling for storms all day Sunday, and then it never materialized. And then right around 4 o'clock, we just had this random dark, cloud system.
And we had some big, huge drops, and then it kind of cleared off, and I said to Amy, I think it's going to blow over. I hope.
I must have saw a different weather than you, because I saw it was supposed to be nice and warm all day, no chance of rain.
Yeah.
I went top down to Erie. It was awesome.
Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, you definitely saw a different weather. I mean, I had the national forecasting, whatever the illuminating company uses. They had wind advisories and thunderstorms.
I knew the wind was there.
They had actually staffed extra people for Sunday.
Oh, it was windy as all get out.
I knew about the wind, but the temperature was... what I saw was going to be nice.
Oh,
all
temperature
day.
Was going to be good, but thunderstorms.
Yeah, I didn't see thunderstorms.
Thunderstorms. That was
weird.
It
got us in Erie a little bit, but it was brief and then gone.
When you had to keep putting your ladder back up because the wind was blowing it over and you weren't on it, that was made garage or a house work a challenge.
Definitely. Definitely. Well,
I've got a ladder up on the side of my house that's been there for 3 years.
Are you kidding me?
That's not good, Jeff.
Is it just a permanent entrance and egress? Do you just sometimes go in and out the back window of the upstairs?
No, it's for that section of siding that I never finished.
No.
I'm sorry, Kristen. So sorry.
It's easier than trying to put it into
the
garage.
You got the ladder positioned so perfectly, I'm just going to leave it there.
I mean, we've had 90-mile-an-hour winds through the area, and it hasn't taken it.
The ladder has been up for 3 years.
You're not going to get on that thing. The ladder's just going to go poof.
It's now just a permanent fixture of your house.
It's terrible. Do not do housework like Jeffrey.
Roth is awesome. That is awesome.
She goes, I ask him to take it down every time it's windy. I still haven't.
So sorry.
So there's a lot going on, folks, and we are going to talk tech today. So if you've made it this far through the program, all three of you who are listening in your ear holes in the podcast world, elsewhere on your commute, on your factory service line, in your truck running across America, first of all, we thank you for your services in keeping America moving forward. But secondly, hang in there today. to hear said talk, tech talk. We're going to be talking about automatic transmissions.
Yep.
We do have pictures. We do have some updates to share with you. As part of our program, we like to kind of, you know, expand upon the actual real life characters that we may or may not be. People tend to seem to appreciate that. So, you know, that's a little bit of our updates. As I like to used to say, we've done a lot of Jeep stuff in our life, and we continue to use Jeeps in fun and adventurous ways, like stuffing goats in the back of them, if you haven't seen the most recent YouTube video.
There's a story about that.
But ultimately, our updates are oftentimes about our personal lives or other pursuits and endeavors that we take upon ourselves. If you are listening and you are elsewhere in the world or at a different time than where we are live right here and now, it is important for you to note that almost every Monday you can join us at 10:19 a.m. on the Book of Faces on our live. So that would be on SFJ4x4-Simpson Family Jeeps Facebook page. Live, sign up for the notifications, get you some of that good live video. You can jump into the comments like some of the other folks already have. If you are joining us at a later date on YouTube, we thank you for that, but make sure you head over to the iSpeak Jeep. Well, that would be what the channel you're watching this on. Head over to the SFJ 4x4 page and check out Life in Low Range and some of those goodies of videos. That might be the one where you find goats in the backs of Jeeps. Other than that,
I wasn't paying attention. Did you mention Patreon too?
You know what?
He didn't.
I didn't.
Okay, that's what I thought.
What should we mention about them?
We should mention that if that's not enough entertainment for you, then you have to sign up for Patreon to get the inside scoop on some other projects.
Physically get to see me working on my house.
Working on your house. Working on we have a special project that we'll be unveiling this summer. There's also exclusive deals. If you are that one angry guy on YouTube who fussed at us about value-added sales pitches or something. I don't know. He was real mad because we were only offering a deal to our Patreons. I don't know. He got real mad, said angry stuff at me on YouTubes. But I don't really care. If you're one of our Patreons, we're going to give you some exclusive deals, you know, financial breaks for products that are hot and up and coming and that we use on our own vehicles.
Not to mention, occasionally we'll put teasers out there that'll be released there before to the general public.
Or so behind the scenes release. Stuff that really doesn't make the other videos.
But sometimes it's more entertaining.
Yeah, definitely.
Kenzen, he said morning. Remember to tune in today.
Hey, good morning, Ken. So, updates. There is a lot going on in our lives.
There is.
Jeffrey has dosed things that I'd like to expand upon. One I will let him do himself, but one I'm going to take the red ball and run with it. Jeffrey was recently a recipient of a very nice recognition and acknowledgement, and so we want to kind of formally share in that recognition with him and say congratulations.
Thank you.
If you're on his socials, which I obviously recommend you jump on and be friends with any of us, you'll see that he recently received a prestigious recognition of Who's Who in America.
Marquise Who's Who. Yep.
Marquise Who Who. So a very neat recognition for his pursuits in leadership and social improvement and community organizing. Get his name in the book. And obviously just a nice accomplishment, that, you know, anytime happens for anybody within, you know, the SFJ umbrella, we want to recognize how they've impacted society.
Yeah.
That's such a cool thing. The other piece that I will let you expand upon, or you can share anything more that I didn't cover with that.
That's fine. I will,
but I want to say congratulations formally to you.
Thank you.
The other piece that you have big deal coming up this weekend.
Yeah, let me first jump to the comments and say hi to Bill. Good morning, guys, is what he's saying.
Morning,
there.
Bill. Yeah.
So as far as this weekend goes, coming up, Friday is the big fundraising event for Heberly's Heartstrings, which is the musical lending library.
You have a fancy title there. What is your fancy title?
So the title of the event.
No. Your personal. Who the heck are you with Heberly's Heartstrings?
Executive director.
There you go. Thank you.
I don't care about titles.
I know. And if you listen to the American Hustle, our other podcast, we talk about fancy titles and whatnot. But again, that recognition is important in a formal situation. So you are the executive director of this charitable organization, which honors the life and accomplishments of a family member that has passed.
Yes, Jason Heberly.
And his reach and value that he added to the local music community.
Correct. The passion and the encouragement that he brought and helped many people become artists, even just trying it out, and have since released records or single releases and things like that.
Sometimes people just need them that opportunity, put them tool in their hand and let them try it.
Exactly. Yep. And that encouragement, right? In a formal manner. And ultimately this is a authorized, registered 501c3.
Yes.
It is part of its mission. It has a musical lending library.
Yes.
Which there's a lot of accomplishments that both our listeners here from I Speak Jeep and viewers on the live have participated in, and then a number of local organizations and businesses have given to this lending library. It is meant to encourage the tool in the hand,
yes,
of young musicians or musicians in general. I shouldn't say young, just musicians.
Yeah, aspiring musicians.
And that's open to all types of instruments, correct?
Yeah.
So if you have an instrument in your attic not doing anything,
as long as it's a good, usable instrument, right?
Yeah, hit Jeff
Even
up.
If it needs a little bit of TLC, we'd be happy to take it on and get it into somebody's hands.
So this weekend is the big event, the main stage, if you will.
Yes, so this is, it's...
Go time.
Called Jason Heberle Memorial Open Mic Competition. It's a mouthful, but the whole purpose of it is to have that open mic format. And if you're not familiar with that, it's where artists just show up at an event and get on stage and start playing randomly a set of songs. It's usually a couple songs, and they share the stage with a multitude of other artists that show up. For our event, we do make a pre-registered, and there's a qualification process to get in. But we have 30 local artists that are performing, and they're competing for cash. So the top prize is $1,000 cash, all the way down to sixth place, which is $275, or fifth place, sorry. Fifth place is $275. And then we have an audience vote prize as well, which is $250.
Nice. Man, so, that is...
And that's all original songs, correct?
So this event is all original music.
No covers
allowed.
It is
a singer-songwriter version. No covers allowed. There will be a later event for the cover edition where it's all cover music only.
That's awesome.
The cover music should be really fun because we encourage people to put their own twist on covers and put their own flair into it.
Like a independent, you know, artist would do.
Correct.
For sure.
So this one, we've got just yesterday we were there at Voodoo Brewing Company in Erie where the event's going to be held, doing a final volunteer meeting.
This Friday, if you didn't hear that before.
Yeah, this Friday, 6 p.m. till midnight. It's going to be a huge event. It's free to attend, basically unlimited seating because we have closed 8th Street. So we have all the seating on 8th Street, literally from Peach to State Street is blocked off for this event.
That's awesome.
Worked with the city and with Voodoo and made that partnership happen. The volunteers are very excited. We have 20 plus volunteers that are going to be helping run the event. There'll be a guitar that is literally being given away. It's a $400 or $500 value of a guitar with a gig bag. It is a 6-string electric Jackson. Mm-hmm. Really cool. So those raffle tickets will be for sale at the event. There's 50-50. There's basket raffles, and these baskets are just gorgeous. Each one is easily $100 value.
Nice.
There's door prizes just for attending and signing our guest book. You get a door prize ticket.
Cool.
There's awesome. No fee for that. So a lot going on, a lot of donations. Even yesterday, we had somebody come in and write us a check while we were doing our meeting. So
how fun.
Awesome.
How
it's
fun.
Very exciting. We're moving along. This week is going to be real busy. I will be here at the shop.
I was just about to say this. I was just about to say I am going to selfishly. I'm so glad you're going to cover it because
Because I'm only going to be here today and tomorrow at the shop, and then I'm sorry, you guys are on your own.
I know. I want our listeners, our live people, to understand that we were already log jammed, and what we've been sharing with people is we can't estimate fast enough, we can't invoice fast enough, we can't turn the vehicles fast enough for the market demand, and we thank you for that. But recognize that
we're going to be down with Jeff this week.
We're going to be down with Jeff this week, right? And so we're
sorry in advance.
We are sorry to our customers in advance. And obviously, we wish you the best in the venue. I am right now planning to attend myself.
I think it'll be awesome.
Check it out. So I'm excited about that.
Davey's actually, our he has been hired by our organization to come do photography for the event.
The Savages.
So he will be there doing the photography. We will have a video recorder up watching the main stage to record the main stage. We encourage everybody to use their cell phones and do live videos, do that kind of stuff, and have a good time.
Yep.
But out of all of it, what is really fun is just knowing how much community support we've gotten. iHeartRadio put up an ad for us. It's a 60-second spot, and it was running constantly through all the prime times Monday through Friday for the last couple weeks.
No way.
That's awesome.
And as part of that, I'm actually going to be on air tomorrow or Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. with Mojo on Rocket 105.
Very cool.
That's awesome. So that'll be really cool.
Congratulations on, you know, how often as humans we have a vision, we have something we want to accomplish, we're motivated to do better, to achieve more, and sometimes things fall a little short. And so to see this come to fruition is a testament not just to you, but all the people you're working with to kind of bring this event in memoriam of Jason, you know, to the public, and how cool that is.
And to help encourage just more people getting behind the music scene and helping that grow.
For sure. For sure. Scott, other than Windy Soffit what the heck are those things? Gutter installation?
So the other small updates is I haven't updated anything on picture-wise online, but I am still working on the 36 Ford project. I got the transmission cover on. It's a multi-part piece on that car, but I got the center part in long enough to realize that the tow board for the driver's side doesn't work like
good.
I like it to.
Excellent.
And there's a multi-strike process. I was like, well, I can move one hole, but then when we have six things that need addressed, I'm just going to make a new one. So as a challenge to myself, there was a couple of people I follow online that they were doing a TIG a day challenge where they would basically make themselves go out in the garage every day, pick up TIG torch and practice. And that is how you get good with welding. So lots of people, welding sheet metal is very challenging. And so I started challenging myself to weld two pieces of 18 gauge together, butted up perfectly. So on the bench, all in perfect situation, but that's what you need to do when you're kind of a novice
starting
with TIG. Because everything I've been doing mostly is with MIG. So I challenged myself to fuse those two pieces together so that I have a piece big enough to remake mine. And yes, I could pull a sheet off the wall and cut a piece and do that. And I have a backup plan then if this fails.
Sure.
But I am working at that currently. And I'm using MIG wire as filler material because everything else is too big. So it is... see where that goes. I just kind of needed something.
Did you post your mega day challenge? I did not. On your social. It's Why not?
It's been crazy.
Sure.
I also yesterday went ahead and got my 66 Rambler Classic out. Don't need that for next weekend. I had a friend of mine pass away, and they're doing a memorial for him on Saturday. He's actually who helped me get that car, so I wanted to make sure that happened. So I've been a little distracted this week with all that going on. But
and I just want to go on record saying sorry for your loss. I
thank you.
Didn't know Walt very well, but I knew enough of him to know he was a really good man.
Yes. Yes, yep. He was.
For sure. And he was a great supporter of the business as well. So
he was.
While he was a incredible influence on your life, I also consider him a friend. And we have some really good memories of us. And I think it's important, just like we took time to remember Jason years ago, take time to remember Walt and share a quick story. So just kind of conceptualize the guy who's just a really cool cat. He had a great sorted history in the automotive world and as a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
He... to this day, so he passed away just shy of 83 years old, to my knowledge.
Yep. And you would never have known it.
No, you wouldn't have known. He was healthy as a horse. It was a freak motorcycle accident. People always want to know. I don't think we need to hide that from anybody. But because he was just blowing the stink off, right?
Yes, he was.
And he would love that. That was how we remembered him. And he had a really cool Gen 1 Cummins 2500, you know, which a Ram
two-wheel
truck.
Two-wheel drive truck.
His
motto was, if you can't drive a Studebaker every day, that was his brand of choice, then you get a 20-year-old Dodge.
Yep.
And you drive that.
Especially a caravan.
Especially a caravan.
Especially a caravan.
So he had a 89 or a 90 D250 two-wheel drive that he oiled.
Meticulously maintained.
Fluid film is nice compared to what he did underneath that truck with gear oil and bar oil and everything else. But the trucks, because that stays around. And he just recently, a month ago, rebuilt the transmission himself. It's a stick.
Mm-hmm.
So give you an idea of who he was or how he was.
I think it was really cool. He had a lot of great stories of going west. He was not afraid to drive. He would go west. He would pick up cool project cars and pick up a car for somebody and haul it back from Washington. He had great stories of running through the mountains out west. And while I did not have the relationship with Walt that you did, he would oftentimes, send me, vintage photos, things that he thought I would be interested in. He was a great sharer of the passion of the automotive industry.
Yep.
And, as younger guys, when we started out in the automotive industry, we do authentically appreciate the men and women who came before us, who 100%. Laid the groundwork in a time, in my own opinion, that was way more challenging. If you were running over the road in West in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, when technology was just not what it is now,
100%.
You were running off of paper maps and landmarks and bias ply tires and, just engines that easily overheated and cooked in the process, you were really accomplishing something. I love and appreciate everything we do for our customers on the newer tech vehicles and whatnot, but it really is not anything too exciting to jump into a 2020 vehicle and run to Moab. Do that in the 60s
and a 2.5 ton Studebaker.
Right that's a story in to his share. Words
it rode a little stiff.
Right.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
That's a story to share. So, and we had a great experience years ago going with Walt to a couple Jeep shows. I'll forever hold on to those memories. So,
100%.
If there's anything else you want to share,
I think that's about it.
I will just, if you're on my social, you will know that Chuck Norris had a boo boo.
Yeah, over the weekend. You had a fun weekend, didn't you?
I did.
I'm actually a heck of a bang when that happened.
Yep, I did. It did. I'm actually not going to tell anybody. Yeah, you're going to have to watch the YouTube video.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you that Chuck Norris had a big old boo-boo.
It was a loud enough noise to probably bring it out of your house.
Yep. Made me real sad. If you're on my social, you have an idea of what's going on. But
he's currently on IV. We're not sure if it's terminal yet or not. But
no, you can't keep Chuck Norris down, but I am disappointed of what went down in the process. So
yeah, absolutely.
You'll definitely want to tune in and check that out.
Interesting.
But he's called Chuck Norris for a reason.
That's right. Yep. Tune in for the next Life in Low Range. I am really, really struggling because I'm a firm believer in the silver lining of now I have an excuse to change something up. Now I have an excuse to upgrade something.
I mean, you were literally just talking about it.
The
day it happened, as a matter of fact.
The day that it happened.
Well, and if it was anything but Chuck Norris, it would have just been hauled to the junkyard.
So that's exactly correct.
I mean, the fact that it was like, meh.
That is exactly correct.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I promise you folks that if I do something to upgrade or change up because of this scenario.
Ken just said, wow, Neil, you're getting old throwing out the bias ply thing. Ken, you have no idea. Guess what's happening next weekend?
Nothing's happening this weekend. Just another day.
Yeah.
Just another day.
How old?
40.
It is, the big 4-0.
I'm pretty excited. I feel 25, so I don't really care. You know what I mean? I just
the good thing is I get to test it out on him before November when I. it's all good.
That's right. Well, I was going to say, I promise that if I upgrade, change, or do something different with Chuck Norris, you're going to talk about it. Yep. I could just promise you that it's going to be something. You're going to know about it.
Oh, yeah.
But you'll want to tune in for this next go-around on Life in Low Range. It'll be the next one. There was a new video that dropped this past week, which we've already hinted about. You'll want to check out the Goats and Jeeps video as well, which is actually a video about Chuck Norris initially, and then about one of our Hemi Swap Jeeps that's in-house at the moment. So.
Yep.
You'll kind of get exposed to all
the world works in mysterious ways. You release that video, you talk about upgrades, and then this happens.
Yeah. So, but I promise that if I do this next upgrade, nobody's going to be real thrilled about it.
No. No.
Especially me, probably. But anyway.
No. Yeah. Oh, you don't even know. You
I've have, heard enough that I'm not,
no,
really not thrilled.
You don't know. I've seen it. You don't.
I've heard enough to know I'm not.
You're not ready.
I'm ready. I'm ready for a big shift.
I heard
shift.
A word he said, and I was like, oh.
I'm no. ready for a
it's,
big shift.
It's so much worse than what you think, Scott.
Oh, it's fine.
Anyways. Tech talk, right? And we spent some time talking about the social. And that's, I think, the beauty of I Speak Jeep is it's meant to be all-encompassing of the Jeep lifestyle.
Yep.
Obviously, important to the Jeep lifestyle is also the technical pieces, the vehicles mm-hmm. that actually make our industry uniquely ours.
It makes everything go.
Correct. And, badooch.
Yeah.
We are going to be talking about...
Yeah, it's fine.
Brought to you by Scott Brown, the mad scientist.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
You know what? For my 40th birthday, I want white New Balance tennis shoes.
He's embracing it, people.
He's ready for the dad shoes to go with his
ready,
dad bod.
I'm ready.
I'm sticking with the black New Balances myself.
I just want the white New Balances for the sheer shock and awe factor.
No.
Yeah, it's just where I'm at.
You couldn't wear them into the shop for a day without them being ruined.
No, I'm only going to wear them to mow the grass. I'm going to buy white
New Balances.
So
they'll be bright green. You're going to
have
bright green.
Nice green hue.
White, yep.
Yep, nice
hue. Well, no. You got to do that, and then you got to walk the block with the dog.
Folks, I
promise
you. I
don't know if Diesel's up for that.
No, Diesel's not up for that. First of all.
Get the wagon out. It'll be fine.
Just put him in the wagon and drive him around. I promise you that if I get white New Balances, I'm getting like tall, like calf height socks with like red stripes on them.
Oh, man.
I may or may not.
Are you
going to
pull out the short shorts to go with it too?
Oh, I mean, they're in. It's 2024. Short shorts are in.
He's wearing calf over here.
They're going to have 4-inch inseams. It's basically going to cover my thigh.
No.
It's just
life in low range just started tanking.
Oh man, it's going to get. we're upping our market demographic. That's what we're doing. All right, automatic transmissions, folks. Yeah. I swear we're going to talk about auto transmissions. When did we see the first auto transmission come out in a Jeep?
Oh, that was in the late 60s.
I agree.
I believe
it was the late 60s.
I believe it was a Turbo 400.
I was going to say it's a GM application. I think it was actually a Buick at that point, wasn't it? Or it was a GM, but it was not a Chevrolet 400.
Fun little
Chevrolet. That's so funny.
Oh, speaking of Chevrolet, we should talk about your bow tie conversation.
Did we at all talk about automatic transmissions?
Well, hey, what real quick, Joe says time for a Skechers slip on, Neil.
I can't bend over. I got to slip them on.
I'm just talking about when you went to go pick up a part and you were looking at bow ties at a Chrysler.
I will
share this story. I'm sorry, folks, who want to hear about automatic transmissions. I am. Here's the thing, folks. I'll try to give you the most abbreviated version. We had to do two things. One, we had to pick up a part because it doesn't exist. It was actually for Joe O'Brien. He's listening and watching. He needed a new dipstick tube. His did not make the journey of the pan, of the engine oil pan swappage. I don't know if you knew that yet, or Joe, or not, but now you do. So,
and then
right, live updates, folks.
And then we ordered one, and it was not right.
Yeah, we ordered one.
It was a mile long.
It came in. It was absolutely incorrect. So
I told Greg maybe it was for a 3.6 in a van.
That was probably true.
I don't know.
Or a Cherokee or something.
Just bad data. Period.
We call the dealerships. Dealerships don't have them available in a timely fashion.
No.
And you know, they're going, hey, it's going to take a week to get you this dipstick. Yeah, there, you like, know,
this
blah,
is
blah, blah.
Not okay.
So we end up finding.
Joe says, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. So we end up finding a dipstick tube in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yep. Right? And this is one of those times where the Jeep tells us without any disagreement, basically, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
The dipstick is junk.
Yep.
You have
yep.
no choices. The do tube, not pass go $200.
Do not collect $200.
Yes. Yep.
So we find this tube, and now we need to get it. So we need to put some miles on another Jeep. So this works out well enough.
Do the best you can.
Yep. And so I hit the road, and I'm headed off to Edinburgh to grab this dipstick tube, and I'm heading to a dealership over there. So I'm going to give Cunningham's credit for having the tube in stock. So thank you, Cunningham's, for that. They're willing to sell it to us. You know, not all dealerships play nice.
It's weird.
It's important to know that.
Yes.
So we're headed down there. I'm headed down there, and I'll be honest with you. I've got my earbuds in. I've got the GPS playing. I've got music playing. I'm just kind of in the zone, you know, kind of thinking about life. And the GPS says, you know, in a mile, turn right. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I see a dealership, on the right. Down the road. And so I'm like, okay, cool. So I just pull in. I don't think anything more of it. And
I had too much faith in Google.
I'm feeling pretty
good.
Too
much faith in himself was what it was.
I'm feeling
Google
pretty
was
good.
Accurate.
I get in. I circle around. I go all the way around the dealership. I go behind the building, back where like all the technicians and all the project vehicles. And I'm wondering why this particular dealership had like a derelict four-wheeler chained up to like their propane tank. They had a Monte Carlo in pieces, sitting, you know, half under a tarp. I mean, it seriously looks like somebody, you know, I've been in backyards that are have, you know, newer, nicer vehicles.
Oh my.
And I'm thinking, oh, you know what? Good for this dealership for having these odd project vehicles. You know, I don't know if they took them in and trade. I don't know. You're right. I go all the way around the dealership. I come back out to the front because I was looking for the parts department.
Good morning, department. Roy.
Good morning, Roy. I'm looking for the parts department entrance. I never see it, right? But I go all the way around the building, and I'm like, you know what? Finally, I'm just going to have to walk in through the showroom. I don't want to walk in through the showroom. Because I'm just going to call a spade. I don't want to deal with the salesman.
Yes.
You know, I'm not there to buy a vehicle. I am there to pick up parts. And I don't think anything of this situation. I'll be honest with you. I've never been to either of these dealerships before. I don't think anything of it. I get out of the Jeep. I go in through the front door. Fortunately, I am actually very close to the parts department. I walk past. I say hello to a couple people who do not engage me and try to sell me a vehicle. It's whatever. I walk up to the parts counter. There is nobody there. There's like a clerk to my left. I just kind of like do like a hand wave, like a, you know, an awkward like, oh, I'm good. I'm just going to stand at the parts counter, you know, quietly. I stand at the parts counter. And nobody comes to check on me. And I was thinking, well, that's kind of like crummy service, but, you know, like...
Been there, done that before.
Yeah, I'm like, this is not the end of the world. Maybe they're busy. There's people out in the showroom just drinking coffee, doing nothing. They didn't engage me. Whatever. I'm fine. I'm just going to stand here quietly. I can be patient. And I start looking around, and I'm like, looking at the signs that are hanging in and around the parts counter, and it's like, Heartbeat of America, built Chevy Tough. Built like a rock, you know?
You said all the shirts with the bow ties on it.
All the shirts with the Chevrolet bow ties on it.
I don't think you're in the right dealership.
And I started to think to myself, well, that's really weird. That's strange. Why would
a Jeep dealership have all these Chevys?
Why would the Jeep dealership have these Chevys? And I mean, I've certainly seen multifaceted dealerships. I didn't know where
I was going.
So
what kind of vehicles were out front of this dealership?
So I literally had walked past like a 32 Chevy in the showroom.
Yeah, it's a
red flag. And then I looked out through the showroom, out into the parking lot, and I just saw all the GM pick'em up trucks lined up next to the Jeep that I just drove in with this Jeep, lined up all the GM pick'em trucks.
I'm not in the right place.
And I lied to myself. There is then you know, kind of just a random little 8.5 by 11, and it says something about Walker Brothers. And I all of a sudden, like the little jingle in my head, for those of you in Northwestern PA, Northeast Ohio, you know, it's Walker Brothers, Buick, Chevrolet. And I was like, Oh God! Oh God!
I'm not even in the right brand.
Danger! Danger!
I'm not even in the right owner part.
I am not where I'm supposed to be. I'm feeling all emboldened and ballsy, and I'm driving this great, beautiful Jeep that we just built, and everything's going great. And I'm randomly standing at the parts counter of the wrong dealership. I tucked tail and ran out of the building as fast as possible. Much to my surprise, Google was like, turn in another mile, you idiot. I literally just drove down the road another half a mile, three quarters of a mile, and you know, Cunningham's was there on my right, and I just totally was oblivious to the whole situation. Good, bad news, whatever, with Walker Brothers. Nobody actually greeted me, so nobody knew what a buffoon I was. But it is what it is.
I guess if you don't want to buy a Chevy, that's where you go.
Yeah, I guess. Right? good for me, bad for them. It's just what it was. Yeah.
So Daddy Jeep just logged in, says, morning, guys. I'm late. I was on a staffing call for Bantam. We need more volunteers.
Oh, that's an all call to our listening base, mm-hmm. near and far. Bantam is a national show. So if you want to come in and volunteer, they'll take you. All right, automatic transmissions,
yep.
for the third time.
Yes.
Are we sure this time?
I don't know. We're so. Probably out of time at this point. All right.
So the cool thing, lots of people think there's magic in automatic transmissions. And to a point, a little bit, that is true. The biggest challenge is people think that very much logically. Like, I start my car, the motor's running, now it transfers power down the line. And with a standard shift, that's kind of true. Like, gears mesh with gears. The clutch physically grabs things.
Well, I think that if you're talking about the 60s, we
drive
had
shafts turn
just under 60 years of manual transmission technology.
Yeah, you can shove it in something, and it's going to make the vehicle move
correct.
In either direction.
Correct.
With an automatic transmission, that is not really the case. While there is things called planetaries, which is how you get your gear ratio change from one to the other, is all done hydraulically, which basically at that point your motor is just turning a hydraulic pump, which is therefore producing a line pressure in the transmission, which then depending on where you put your selector engages what's called a clutch pack on or off, which then engages that planetary. That's how you get your first, second.
I'm going to break that down again just in case people didn't catch it. A manual transmission is again, the energy transfer is just separated by the clutch itself, right? So it's an on-off. And then you have gears, physical gears that engage. Boom,
yes.
Boom, 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 right? Whereas, I love what you said, an automatic transmission is a fluid pump.
Yes.
That's the best way to kind of overall think about an automatic transmission. Yes, there are going to be gears and drums of
clutches.
You know, of clutches, but ultimately it is a fluid pump. It is a hydraulic pump that is increasing pressures to, you know, to take the energy created by the engine and transfer it into almost a mechanical. It goes from fluid hydraulic energy back into mechanical energy.
Correct. And how they do that, I'm going to try to make this as not scientific as possible for you guys so it doesn't get too over everyone's head. But basically, everyone generally, if they've done anything with a car, knows what a torque converter is. That is the part that physically bolts to the flywheel of the engine and engages in the pump of the transmission. After that, pretty much nobody knows what goes on.
No, it's magic at that point.
Inside a torque converter, we have two veined discs.
It's just sloshy momentum fluid.
We have a picture that is...
So if you're one of our viewers, enjoy looking at the screen.
Yes.
If you're not, you're SOL. My bad.
Well, yes, that's true. You have to watch it on YouTube.
You have to watch it on YouTube.
Because they, I'm going to make Davey put this picture on there.
That's right. Come back in and we'll timestamp and you can look at what a torque converter looks like.
So when you're sitting at a stoplight, your transmission is in gear and you're sitting there on the brakes, what you're doing is shearing the fluid between those two discs.
Shearing or sharing?
Shearing.
Okay.
And that is why you can get heat out of a torque converter. You'll see in the middle you have the stator. There is on the front of a transmission, when you take the torque converter off, you're going to have a spline piece sticking out that is called the stator support. When you're trying to get that to engage, that is what you're doing, is that stator is going onto those splines. Mm. The turbine closest to the flywheel is going to go to an input shaft, which is another thing that you're trying to align up. And then you'll see on your collar that has kind of like a little tooth in it, that is actually what drives the pump itself. Mm. So that is why you'll say, do you want to feel three good thumps? And you're putting a torque converter in a transmission because you're engaging three things.
You're engaging three separate components within the torque converter
itself. So not only is the torque converter driving mechanically that pump by the housing around itself, which is what that tooth collar goes into, but it then is also allowing you to not stall the engine at a traffic light.
Sure.
Now, every torque converter is going to have what's called a stall speed. That is the rate the vanes are angled at. That means what RPM you have to get to make that kind of catch up with each other.
Okay.
And that's why on a race car, you're going to have a higher stall. They've done magic stuff in there. They also usually make that size of the housing smaller. Anyway, a torque converter takes a lot of fluid. It usually takes 2, 3, maybe 4 quarts of fluid in itself. So, which again is why when you put a new transmission in, you say like you need to fill it up to a point, get it going, and then it's going to take a huge drink. That's why. So you go into the pump that is connected in the case via channels and kind of rivers of sorts.
Channels and rivers.
Channels and rivers.
I feel like in old world Europe at the moment.
And that all ends up into the valve body. That is the brains of the transmission. Easy way to think of that is it's basically just a whole plate full of little channels and rivers.
Yeah, journals and valleys. And
in there are valves that have notches cut into them, and they move, lining up certain channels or not, blocking them off. That, again, is how you have first, second, third, reverse, etc., and what you are usually moving with your shifter. Now, specifically, we brought up about the 8 speeds in the JLJTs and retrofitting them.
Well, we haven't yet.
Well, previously on another podcast, we talked about
that. That's right. That's right.
Important on this part to bring up, this is the first transmission that is shift by wire.
Yes.
What that means is when you're moving your shifter on the console, I don't care how firm or great that feels, you are physically doing nothing but telling a computer you're moving the stick.
And in fact, a fun fact, they had the rumor, the professional industry rumor, was that they had actually made a couple push-button transmission.
Well, there was a dial. First ones in the Rams where there was a dial and everybody got angry.
Right.
They want a stick to move, not a dial. They were worried about it. I'm going to go to turn up my volume and put the thing in park.
Yep.
That was talked about.
And these engineers apparently at the mothership were like, these folks don't need a stick to move.
Correct.
In fact, we need that for
confidence.
We can use this space for more cup holders or for
anything.
More leg room, whatever.
Yes.
And consumer confidence
change
was
is
like,
hard. Change is hard, and we didn't like it. So they made us, we made the OEs go back to a stick.
Yep. We, the people, have spoken, and we want a dum-dum stick to move with our hand.
Yes. To the point
even though it's doing the exact same thing.
Even though it's doing absolutely nothing.
To the point where we've now seen, for a while, there was a good Ford commercial where they press a button and the shifter disappears into the console and he puts his laptop there.
Yeah.
Still has a stick, though.
I want everybody to know, Take that shifter away from me. I've had push button automatic transmissions for years at this point. I've driven them.
RVs.
The RVs. I'm okay. Grand Cherokee customers, they know they have dials to do your transmission shifting. I'm fine. Take it away. Give me a place for more my GMRS to get mounted. Give me a place for a bigger display stereo. That kind of stuff.
I gotta go to the comments. Joe Brilla's in the comments.
Be careful. Don't get his banned.
As usual, he's coming in hot.
Greeting, kitties. We're stuck in a massive traffic jam on I-70 east of Vail. I assume that's Colorado.
Yes.
Beautiful area.
Yep. Where everything is perfectly legal for the next statement.
Everything, yes. So the next statement is, guy sitting next to us is smoking a joint and won't share.
Is he the driver or the passenger of the vehicle that you sit next to?
I don't know. Colorado.
Do we really want to know?
Well...
What you really need to do is just ignore that that's even happening and pay attention to the beautiful surrounding that you're in while you're stuck in traffic, because it is absolutely gorgeous out there.
Yes, for sure.
So anyway.
Automatic transmissions, shifters, fly-by-wire or shift-by-wire.
So what that means is now there is an actuator inside the transmission that moves that valve in the valve body to allow you to shift gears.
Yes.
That's all it means. Went from a cable to electronic thing that moves it. And honestly, we've been doing that forever on the racetrack because you cannot shift a transmission fast enough to go down the quarter mile. So air cylinders do that, believe it or not. So any which way. So inside the transmission, we're going to have those planets and those clutch packs. Those are going to be in drums. And back in the olden days when we have like turbo 400s, we had these big heavy cast drums that held anywhere from 3 to 7 clutches depending on the strength of the transmission. Believe it or not, a lot of differences on say like a 700 R4 if it's a V6 transmission or a IROC Z heavy duty 350 rated transmission was the V6 one had less clutches in it than the V8 one.
Right. I want to go back to that period and just say that each manufacturer of the big three nature had their robust transmission.
Yes.
Right? And so GM came to market with the Turbo 400, which was a 3-speed.
Yep.
And was used in all applications, and even
and then some, and it's
even still used today for some, you know, some rock buggies, some bouncers. If you're doing an affordable build, you might use that Turbo 400 because it's just robust, and you don't need to do an overdrive.
The places you would find a Turbo 400 in was just mind-numbing.
Oh, it's so cool. Even like mining applications.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think a Jaguar had one for a minute.
Yeah.
They adapted them behind everything. Just fun Jeep rumor mill that I find to be true, but I'm, you know, it's the internet, so I'm just going to say it's a rumor mill.
Right.
The reason why AMC started out with a Buick case was because GM cut them a deal. They had built a special Turbo 400 to go behind a nailhead Buick, which is a Buick motor that was used in the early 60s, about some 61-ish to 64, I think. Again, don't shoot me. I'm not a Buick guy.
Sure.
Which had a special case made for that. It was not a big deal for them to do that. And they're like, hey, we have this. What do we do? AMC's looking for a deal.
AMC just wants scraps.
Yes.
AMC was basically the car manufacturer hanging out behind the restaurant, trying to dig through what the restaurant was throwing away.
Yeah. And I always thought it was cool because I've always been a street rodder, hot rodder at heart. So I like seeing things getting used and repurposed and recycling. It's a type of recycling. So any which way. So they just made about an inch thick adapter to go from the nailhead Buick to first a 350 Buick in the full sizes.
Yep.
There was also one for an AMC bell housing because you could get that behind, I believe, an AMC Rambler 327 that was used in it for a minute. And then they, of course, used that behind the 360 and the 401, which, again, is just a thick adapter. They did not change to a specific AMC case until 1974.
Yep.
And that literally, I believe, was because the Quadratrac came out in 73. That was the last Turbo 400 to have a nailhead case. And then they sold so well in 73 that AMC was like, hey, I think we have a hit on our hands. We will invest in casting our own case. The bell housing part's the only thing that's different.
Sure.
So the rest of it is all GM inside, 100%.
Right. I'll further that to say that Chrysler does eventually produce their own transmission in the 727.
So
pretty robust.
That's important to note. That was their Turbo 400. They were used behind Hemis and everything else. Just when Chrysler took them over, I think it was kind of like, you know, we're going to use this turbo foreign for a minute, but we kind of feel dirty
right
when we have our own automatic transmissions that are actually pretty good. You had basically your big three. You had a C6, C4.
You took my thunder.
You had the 350 turbo, turbo 400.
He does that a lot with a couple of technical.
And a 904, I know, right? And a 727. Also a 998 for those that are in the crowd that'll say yay.
Yay, yay, YJ.
Well, and CJ.
And C, old CJ, yeah.
Yeah. Fun. Also, trivia, they did not put a 727 in a CJ from the factory.
No.
There wasn't enough room for it in the frame rail, so those got a 998 or a 904. Same basic transmission.
Which
again,
then
has more clutches.
Which then becomes a 32RH, which is really...
Yeah.
It starts to go downhill, folks, just so you know.
Yeah.
Looking at you, YJ crowd.
Yes. And early TJs.
All I know is there was a lot of numbers TJs. And letters, and I don't know what we're
well,
talking about.
Well, and then ultimately, the 42RLE comes out because it's yet a further descendant of the 998 case series.
Yep.
And that 32RH was so pathetic that we needed to make yet another pathetic transmission of the 42RLE, which mine was wonderful until Chuck Norris got hammered in the parking pin area. Yep.
Yes.
That another teaser as to what's going on there.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. And another fun note, again, trivia that you probably don't care about, but the very first transmission to be all electronically servoed. So how do we move these clutch packs and these drums? Well, there's bands that grip the outside of them that make them stop moving to then do a force. And back in the day when you would shift that valve body, the channel of oil on that river would go up into a case, and there would be a piston and a bore. Think of like what an engine has, only instead of air and
combustion,
we have fluid going into that.
Yep.
And that moves that piston forward or backward, which has literally a pin that moves a strut or actually can go right to the band that makes the band open and close.
Yep.
That's also why back in the day you had to adjust your transmission every once in a while. You had to make sure that band, as it wore, had the appropriate clearance.
You were actually supposed to adjust the bands in your transmission.
So Bill's in the comments saying enter 4160E joke.
No.
Here.
Oh.
Or L60.
Or L60.
See, this is why I don't do the technical
stuff. Jeff, this is why this podcast is for you, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Because, folks.
I failed as a producer today.
Because in my opinion, and I'll just say this, is we enter the 90s of automatic transmission technology, we just straight go into hot garbage automatic transmissions.
There's a reason why this happens. Because we have, they always had spent so much money initially on transmissions in the 60s.
Yes.
They're like, listen, we got to get as much mileage out of this
as
possible.
That's
absolutely correct. So all we did to make further transmissions, especially in Chrysler, was to say, where can we shove a lockup torque converter in? Which what that means is it takes, there's a clutch inside that makes everything kind of lock up like a clutch, like a standard shift, which means you have a little bit more loss of, or not having loss of friction and that kind of stuff. It makes everything kind of lock up in that torque converter, the stators and everything lock together, which therefore makes better transmission of power to the transmission. That's what a lockup clutch is. Anyway, they just then stuff an overdrive gear into the transmission somewhere.
Right.
And that's where initially it was called a 518. They even put them behind a diesel, called them a 618. I can't remember that they changed it then. It was a 46.
It
was a 42 RL.
They actually said they actually used the 42,
which was a 904.
Yep.
With an overdrive.
Yep.
Then 47 was, they had so many different numbers.
That was in the Grand Cherokees.
Yeah.
So the thing is, they basically, I'm just rearticulate your statement to say, they had spent so much time and energy developing in the 60s and 70s that they didn't pump a lot of cash back into it. They just kind of kept refining. But the issue with the refinement was that it did not actually create innovation. It did not create robustness. No, it was not new. And the more they kept trying to pack into the same 5-pound satchel, just kind of expanded it, and they had to make other components smaller. So the joke about the 4L60E is that basically the 4L60E is
the 4160E.
No.
Okay.
The 4L60E clarifying. Is a four-speed automatic transmission in the GM application,
yep.
which should be a decent transmission, but it's not. It's not.
Well, the problem is they came out with what became the 4L60.
Which was the 700R4.
That
was the first step towards innovation.
So bad that if you were sad and had an 84 through 86 700R4, you literally, if you call a good transmission shop, they'll tell you to throw it away.
I don't think even it's so funny it. How many people used to be like, oh, I'm excited that I have a 700RL. And I was like, no, that's just not cool.
They were terrible transmissions, and they screwed up so bad, they completely redesigned them in 87. I did 11 years at a transmission shop. We could spot an 87 up for 700R from across the shop.
Right.
And if they came in, people would show up every once in a while with cores. We literally would not buy an 86 and down. The valve bodies, everything is completely different. Even though the pan looks the same and the case overall looks ish the same. The 87 up is what the 4L60 and then 4L60E was all based off of. And all the E means is electronic.
So that's the whole, that's the introduction of the shift by wire. Right?
Ish.
It's the infancy.
The computer is getting more involved with the transmission.
Correct.
Which actually does not mean that's a bad thing. It just means that we're getting more refined.
Because up to this point, we had a mechanical over hydraulic pump.
Yep.
Now, we're spending too much time on the old school stuff.
Yeah.
We're spending a lot of time on the old school stuff.
I kind of feel like we always have to show where we came from.
Well, that's the SFJ way, right? Yeah. To contextualize and help people kind of understand where and why and how we've gotten to where we're at. I do want to just kind of blow through and not spend a ton of time on the GM automatic transmissions.
Real quick, let's talk about the – so for those that don't know, we did not get an overdrive and a Wrangler until 2003.
Correct.
What were we doing? Anyway –
right, it was 2003. That really wasn't that long ago. I know a lot of people think that was a long time ago.
No,
it really wasn't.
We literally have this weird conundrum where people come in now and they're a JL or a JK owner and they think a TJ is quaint. And they go out and they buy an early TJ and they are mystified why they only have so many shifts.
Yes.
Well, that's because you don't have an overdrive.
Yes.
It was literally for in-town driving only. Anyway. Okay.
I'd love when our newer Jeep owners are like, I'm going to buy a TJ to wheel off road. A vintage Jeep.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, no. What you enjoy about your Jeep has nothing to do. Does not exist in a TJ.
Yeah, if you want a TJ, buy a TJ, but buy it because it's a TJ, not because it's quaint.
Correct.
Any which way.
No.
So there's no creature comfort in those.
No.
That was the first transmission to have electronic shifting of that servo. So instead of a piston moving that fluid, now you had electric motor moving it, which is why on those you put it in gear and you hear.
Yep.
That is the electronic part doing that.
Also, our recommendation, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but our recommendation, if you are a TJ automatic transmission owner, like I am, that when you shift, you don't try to accelerate immediately. You keep your foot affirmatively
on
the brake.
You count
and
to five.
You just take a quick count. Okay, now my Jeep is ready.
Yes.
It has had a sip of coffee.
Yes.
It has contemplated its game plan for the day.
Yes.
And now it would like to drive around town.
And this will also do a nice thing for people. Those transmissions actually need learned when you unhook the battery. Now, the good news is by the time they started putting this style transmission in trucks, they kind of will self-learn. But there's literally a spot in your scanner to quick learn the transmission, and that is to tell it where everything is and how it is, because it forgets that when you unhook the battery.
That's right.
Joe O'Brien is in the comments saying, I can't even fit in a TJ.
They're a whole different ballgame.
Where there's a will, there's a way, Joe. You just kind of crumple up.
I was going to say, I've seen Neil fit in some tight spaces
with
these vehicles.
You take your shoes off, and you just kind of get your elbows in close to your ribs.
I mean, it's possible that he may have removed some seats to fit in some of them. But
it's also like a cat. You know, you got to have liquid insides. You got to, if I fits, I sits.
Yes.
All right.
So any which way, that transmission sort of ish, but didn't kind of, the idea went into the JK, and then we finally get into Daimler, Chrysler, and they're like, why are we using our bricks and our sticks to shift things? We're German. We're better than this. We have five-speed automatics forever ago.
Yep.
Where we're over here in our brick and stick land are just getting into the idea of four-speed automatics in Jeeps. And so they promptly put a Mercedes transmission in the later JKs, which actually is a good transmission.
Yeah. Well,
once
right
you get over the fact that it's German.
Right before we get to that, I'm going to take 2 seconds to address the 7 to 11 folks out there, because you are driving the armpit of Jeep JKs.
I'm sorry.
I'm not sorry. You consciously volunteered to make that your baby.
It has push rods.
Yeah. Oh, woo, yeah. So
change is hard.
Change is hard. And ultimately, your automatic transmission is about as robust as a YJ transmission.
Yes.
They literally, it's just a car transmission.
It's a soggy ham sandwich.
It's a soggy ham sandwich of a transmission.
Yeah.
It just simply has a, I don't know, a 10-inch adapter on the back that allows with an intermediate shaft. Now, literally, they took it out of a car application, which was how this transmission was engineered.
How do we shove a transfer case on here?
Exactly. So that you have a minivan engine. That's just that's the reality. It was recast.
Joe was saying, don't be jealous.
And a minivan transmission. Just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
it really is.
It really is.
Yeah.
And then they needed to adapt it to a transfer case. So they just gave you this 10-inch hollow adapter ring.
Yes.
And an intermediate shaft.
For a minute, that's why we had those cool dual range case that filled that void. Because they're like, hey, there's literally nothing in here.
That is actually a really cool. So if you do have this application, and here's the thing. If I had a good running 3.8, so 3.8s are actually pretty easy to work on once you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that transmission, the concept of just kind of putzing around town or off-roading, if you know how to use it, if you do your count to 3 or 5 before shifting and moving and whatnot, if you have the low range case, those are all kind of cool things.
Yeah.
You know? Now let's talk about 12. As soon as the Pentastar 3.6 comes out, now we've got the Mercedes transmission.
Yep.
And this thing's a doozy.
Yes. It's a complete breakaway from what we knew before, which is why everybody that had their brick and their stick were upset, because they're like, this is weird and this is electronic and there's all these pins and wires and what is this?
Right.
And it speaks a different language and I don't like it.
Right.
It's a heck of a transmission. They put them behind big fire-breathing blown Hemis, and they're fine.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's beefed-up things in them and that kind of stuff. Like I explained earlier, there's parts specific for each motor design, because
correct,
why would you put all this extra stuff in there when you don't technically need it? But it's way better than any earlier automatic ever was.
Correct.
Beefy-wise.
Now, we're going to get to... And we're just going to kind of touch on it. And if our listeners want to hear more and we can expand upon it, we can. But ultimately, we're going to get to the invention of the CVT, which is the constant velocity transmission, which we see in the lighter duty applications of the Jeep branding, your Compasses, your Patriots, a couple other vehicles.
And that's because they were kind of pushed along with what everybody else was doing in the car market. It's a complete change of what we've done for the last, 50, 60 years of automatic transmission-ish.
Yep.
And we're just looking at the problem from a different vantage point, which is why everybody with their bricks and sticks were upset, because change is hard and we don't like it. And
I love his phrase of everyone with the bricks and sticks. I feel like that's a t-shirt possible.
I've had so many good t-shirt ideas.
I know.
So
why
many good ideas.
Not working
Scott
on it?
Has so many good ideas.
He has the best ideas.
But so we have the CVT come up in a similar time that we lay the groundwork for the current 8-speed transmission that our JLs and JTs have.
We kind of had to do something, because with a CVT, you can have something called an infinite gear ratio,
which was very cool. When I was when I was in college and they were teasing the CVT to us and I was learning more and more about it in the early 2000s, I was actually really excited about the CVT.
Yep.
It makes sense to me.
Yep.
The case size to application is the restraining manner, right? CVTs are really cool. I understand. Basically, we have a cone of application.
And the easy way to explain it, it's not completely correct, but if anybody's ever seen a snowmobile clutch or a go-kart Comet style clutch where we have one pulley here and another pulley over there, and they're connected with a belt. On the CVT, it's kind of a chainmail-ish
friction thing. Surface, yeah.
More than a belt. But basically, that shiv on those can grow or shrink,
yep.
Moving that chain or belt up and down.
Yep.
And likewise on the other side. And that means that it can go where basically every little change is a different size, which is a different gear ratio. So the bigger the front gets, the smaller the back, vice versa. That's a different gear. And again, change is hard.
We use the word gear as a conceptualization.
Because we have to understand it.
Because we're understanding it in our bricks and sticks mind.
Yes.
But it's no longer gears. But we have a series of clutches and bands that are operating our fluid transfer or our energy transfer.
And they've been doing this forever in the side-by-side world. Like Rob on our comments said my go-kart has a CVT, so does the wife Subaru.
Yep.
Subaru embraced it early on. And those drivers didn't like the fact that they didn't feel it shift.
That's the big thing
broken.
With the CVTs.
I have my brick and my stick, and my car's not shifting, so it's broken. So they've literally made pauses in there so that you feel it shift.
Right.
Shift.
It's why I still have my shifter.
Still have my stick.
Instead of my GMRS mount.
Yes.
Take the stick away and give me a GMRS, give me a CB, and a laptop mount, and I'll be perfectly tickled.
And the crazy thing about... specifically with Subaru, and yes, they had recalls, and they had problems, and that's with anything
you
got to
learn
new.
Somewhere. 4L60s.
Yes. Oh God. they can shift so fast. Those cars get up to speed very quickly and spiritedly.
The CVTs we're talking about.
Yes.
Right.
That you're just moving less material. Anytime you can simplify what moves and how it moves, you have less loss of power. That's basically what we're trying to do.
So here's the thing. Here's what really started me on this conversation. And I think we're going to have to table a little bit because we're going to have to come back.
That's a lot.
Because right now, I'm looking at you JL and JT owners. And there's a lot of you who are fired up about the way that your Jeep shifts. Yep. There's a lot of talk at the dealership, mothership level about what is normal and what is not normal out of these 8-speed transmissions. I think that with this 8-speed transmission, we have for the first time had authentic innovation. I don't know the history. I don't know where it came from. It's not really born from somebody
else's
application.
So Jeff has a picture of a cutaway of an 8-speed, if you'd like to put that up there real quick.
And what I think we need to do is I think we're going to have to come back to it. But for our listeners at home, we have a cutaway from the top orientation of the 8-speed transmission. Now, understand that somewhere in the mid-2000s, that automatic transmission technology actually surpassed mechanical, manual transmissions. There was, for the longest time, manual transmission was king. Your big trucks were running manuals. You had all of these, you had 10 speeds and 13 speeds. Yeah. And the idea of being able to pick the gear and you are more intimate with your vehicle, and the big horsepower engines were still running manuals. Somewhere in the mid-2000s, that technology, the robustness of transmissions passed manuals. Mm-hmm. And so much so that the Cummins application 3500, 4500, 5500.
Detune it for a stick.
They actually detuned that engine application.
Yep.
For a manual. So those of us who like to row gears,
yes.
And if you've seen my Crew Cab International, you know that I've got a Spicer 5-speed in there. Super fun to drive. Makes me feel really tough. Makes me feel acquainted with the waltz of America of the 100%. 60s and 80s, 60 through 80s running the roads.
Brick and stick.
Brick and stick. Makes me feel cool.
Speaking of the brick and stick, Giaga Jeepers is in here going, what kind of graphics you want on bricks and stick shirt and what size shirt? I can make that happen.
How cool.
And then Dale's saying they do seem to hunt, talking about the transmissions.
Yeah. And we'll get to that. And so... here's the thing.
Do you want to talk about the graphic before I take it away? Or
so basically, this is just...
let's talk about next week is what I want to do.
Okay.
Right? What I want to do is...
Bye, graphic.
I'm just going to kind of hammer that the idea that those of us who can and want to drive the manual still,
yep.
The engineers, the OEs, the motherships, they understand that and they continue to try to appease us in the process. But the reality is that time marches on. Technology advances whether we like it to or not, and change is hard. So the conversation here is that that 8-speed transmission comes out. It is innovative. Now, does it have drawbacks? It does, but it is a traditional 8-speed. Yep. We're going to unpack more of that transmission next week. That's when the graphic will come back, and we'll share with you, obviously, some fun anecdotes. We're also going to talk about what some of the dealerships are or are not doing, the hunting. When I get really angry at my wife's JL and I ram on the gas really hard because I feel like that's going to help the transmission. Obviously, it's not.
No.
But we'll be...
And the forgetting of gears. We'll talk about that a little bit, too.
We will talk about that next week because it's pertinent to the aftermarket
experience
and the experience of the Jeep community as a whole.
And I don't know if it's going to be next week, but coming up, we're going to have a very fun special episode that Neil doesn't even know about yet.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to find out here shortly.
That's fine.
So
I'm also going to have a game ready for you guys. I'm making that that public proclamation.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So there's a game coming. There's a special fun episode coming.
Yes.
This is all going to be good stuff.
We've
coming
got
down the
good
line.
Good stuff. Happening. Folks, I hope that this has been fun and informative for you. We're trying desperately to keep these podcasts under about an hour and 15 minutes, and so that's important for us.
We
for
like
you,
to gab.
Because we like to gab, and we don't want you to nod off. We also want, if you have prioritized scheduling a fake meeting in the morning, we appreciate that you've done that.
Yeah.
And, you know, most meetings are out within an hour, hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. Or in the case of the Brillos today being stuck in traffic, hopefully you're not still stuck in traffic. But
if you are, hopefully this has been entertaining and informative in the process. We will talk about the transmission that they're driving, that they're stuck in traffic
next week.
Folks, it's been a blast. Jeep on.
Jeep on.
Jeep on.